Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, August 14th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Facing the Giant of Pride.
1 Peter chapter 5, and in verse 5 again, the Bible says, Likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. The Bible says, now think about this, yea, all of you be subject one to another, says, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 8, the Bible says, being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You don't find very many people that speak about humility. Matter of fact, you find more people that are wanting glory themselves. You find more people, instead of glorifying the Father, they want to glorify themselves in what they do. You find it more commonplace for a person to have a problem with pride than you do humility. Matter of fact, there's many people that struggle with pride. Why? Because they're not clothed in humility. And so they struggle with pride over and over again. They try to preserve themselves, they try to protect themselves, and they try to promote themselves. Years ago, there was Muhammad Ali, and he was at the top of his fighting career, if you will, and he sat on a plane, and the stewardess came up and began to talk to him a little bit, and it was about time to buckle up. And he said, Superman doesn't need to buckle up. She said, that's right, but Superman doesn't need a plane either. It's important for us to understand that we ought to take care of pride. We ought to decide that if we have an issue with pride tonight, that we understand the dangers of it, the problems of it, and be that person that comes to God realizing how God feels about it and be willing to lay it aside so that God can take care of the problem. I want to give you some things to think about. We're going to do a Bible study tonight, and I want you to follow along as much as you possibly can. Over in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, These things doth the Lord hate. It says, Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Statement number one, there's the problem of pride. God says that he hates pride. What is pride? Pride is thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. What is pride? Pride is somebody that thinks that they are of a great value, and without them, others could not exist the way that they exist. And so therefore, they are of value to other people. But if you talk to a chemist tonight, the chemist would tell you the value of the chemicals found in the body of man is worth $2.52. So I would not get too excited about being worth $2.52 chemically. Sometimes we pick ourselves up, but yet the Bible says, Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. So sometimes we want to praise ourselves. We want to walk around, and if somebody doesn't say you did a good job, if you're not careful, you'll begin to pat yourself on the back and begin to commit out publicly what a good job you really did. And what is that? That's called pride. Pride is taking credit for success, though somebody else might be a part of the success. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, the Bible says, But by the grace of God, Paul speaking, I am what I am. He knew exactly where he came from. And he said it's only by God's good grace that he is who he is. Pride is thinking that we deserve to be treated better than we really are and complaining about the lack thereof. That's called pride. May I remind you tonight, if you got what you deserve tonight, you'd be burning in hell. And if I got what I deserve tonight, I would be burning in hell. And it's only by the grace of God that you and I have experienced the salvation that's found in Christ. Because of that, you and I ought not to be one lifted up thinking that we deserve something that we did not rightfully get. That's called pride. Pride is a person that has problems saying, I'm sorry. Pride is a person that has problems saying, I have sinned. Pride is a person that has problems saying, I was wrong. Pride is a person that has problems saying, would you please forgive me? That is caused by pride. Pride is a person that's unthankful. Very seldom will you ever hear a person that is full of pride say thank you. Most of the time they get what they get and they think that they deserve even more. And so they're not thankful for what they get. The proud young person pulls up in a McDonald's or a Burger King and mom and dad spend the money. And you say, but it's only a McDonald's or a Burger King. May I remind you tonight, you ought to be thankful for everything that mom and dad does for you. If mom and dad buys you a pair of shoes tonight, you ought to be thankful. Mom and dad buys you a pair of britches tonight, you ought to be thankful. Mom and dad buys you a dress tonight, you ought to be thankful. Mom and dad lets you go to a Christian school or homeschools you through Christian education, and they're paying the sacrifice. Either way, you ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful that God has given you the privilege to breathe, walk, talk, and be able to communicate with people on a level that you want people to communicate back to you. What is it? Well, that person is full of pride, sometimes has a hard time being thankful. Little boy walked into a grocery store one day, and mom knew the grocery store owner, and the grocery store owner looked at the little boy and said, here's a nice, shiny little apple. I'd like for you to have this nice, shiny little apple. Little Junior spoke up with a disgusting type of voice, and he said, peel it. What is that? Ingratitude. What is that? That is somebody that's being unthankful. One preacher put it this way. Be what you is, not what you ain't. Because if you is what you ain't, then you ain't what you is. We ought to decide tonight to be thankful for the way that God made us. We ought to be thankful that God is the one that's allowed us to be able to be who we are, to be used by God the way that we're being used by God. You know, the root of somebody that has an anger problem or somebody that's argumentative. You know, a person that has an anger problem or a person that's argumentative normally has the basis, which is the root of pride. Pride stops an argument. It settles a discussion. No. It never stops an argument, and it never settles a discussion. Pride always wants to go deeper and longer. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5, the Bible says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. It says, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. And so even though a person that's full of pride has other people that is proud, here's what takes place as their friends. God said, though they join hands and hands, they'll not go unpunished. I'm telling you tonight, statement number one, there's a problem with pride. There's a problem with pride among those that are Christians tonight. We have to be careful about that problem that's called pride. Let me give you some characteristics about this matter that's called pride. There was a man by the name of H.T. Webster. H.T. Webster decided that he was going to write 20 congratulatory type of notes. And so he sent out 20 congratulatory notes to 20 people that he knew. And he said, thank you very much for the gift. By the way, he didn't receive a gift, but he did receive 20 you're welcome notes back to him. What is that? That's called pride. A person that has pride, they say, I can do all things. A person that has pity, they say, I can do no things. And the person that has peace, they say, I can do all things through Christ. There's a difference between having pride and peace. Pride, if you will, the letter that's the center of it is I. Isn't that amazing? The same letter that's the center of sin is I, and I is where it all starts. Because you and I, if we look at that which is pride and we embrace that which is pride, it causes a lot of problems in our life. It causes us not to be able to please God. There's some characteristics of pride tonight. Let me list them for you. It is very deceptive. Pride deceives people. The Bible says in Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, the pride, it says, of thine heart hath deceived thee. So people are deceived in their heart because of pride. They begin to think more highly of themselves than, yea, they ought to think of themselves. You know why? Because they're deceived inside of the heart. Wait a minute. The Bible teaches that pride is very destructive. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, the Bible said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so pride is deceptive and pride is destructive. It was during the battle of in the wilderness in the Civil War that this was recorded about Union General John Sedgwick. Union General John Sedgwick was expecting the troops, and he was looking over them to make sure that they had all of their guns right. And he was a no-nonsense, they said, type of general. And so he said, I want to peer out to see the enemy. I want to see if I can see them. The guy that was walking beside him said, General Sedgwick, you ought not to peer out and see if you can see them because you might get hurt. Somebody might shoot you. He said, oh, I'm so far away, they could not shoot me. He said they couldn't even hit a white elephant. They shot him, and he was mortally wounded. Why? Because he didn't listen to somebody else. You know, the Bible says a man's pride bringeth him low. Sometimes when somebody walks beside you and they're trying to help you, it might be that God's trying to point something else out in your life that you can't see. You know, God brings people in your life to try and help round you. God brings people in your life to try and help you to come back down to earth where God could use you again. Pride is the central problem, and it's caused many, many things and many, many distresses and many, many destructional things in people's lives. It causes us to be deceptive, and it causes us to be destroyed, but it also devours. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 31, the Bible says, and most pride shall stumble and fall, listen to it now, and it shall devour all round about him. So what takes place? A person that is full of pride, they're devouring other people. They're bringing other people into that place, and they're devouring them simply because they will not be a person that will submit to God's teaching. It was Benjamin Franklin in his autobiography that said this. He said, beat down, sifted, somebody that has been mortified is somebody that has been completely overtaken, though most men will not admit it because they have a lesser degree of that which is humility and a greater degree of pride. It is important tonight that we understand that that pride can destroy us. It can deceive us. That pride can be devouring in our lives, and that pride can be very diversive. Have you seen it divide people? Have you seen one man that has pride and he's married, and because he's married and he's got pride, he will not talk to his wife. He will not communicate with his wife. Have you seen two friends that were best buddies, but now all of a sudden there's a disagreement one between the other, and because of that, they do not spend time with each other. They will not apologize. They will not get right with each other. Why? Have you seen two bus workers and one thinks that they're better than the other, and because of that, there's a division between the two? Have you seen two preachers and two preachers won't get along because of the element of pride? Have you seen a brother and a sister, though they be young, they have pride over a certain possessional type of toy, and because of that, they will not get along? It does divide. Here's what the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. Years ago, there was the Peanuts cartoon. In the Peanuts cartoon, there was Linus. Linus is sitting there, and he's got this kind of look, a strange look on his face. And all of a sudden, Lucy walks up, and Lucy says, I know what the problem is, and I'm going to tell you. Because the more I stare at you, I just feel criticism coming on. Now, what is that? That's somebody that has structured themselves to criticize. That is somebody that has, they've well thought it out. Hey, I'm just going to criticize. I am made to criticize. You are not made to criticize. Your wife does not need a critical husband, and your husband does not need a critical wife, and your parents does not need a critical child. Tonight, we have to decide that we're going to look at this thing called pride and allow God to work. You know, as Pharaoh, God sent two men down in the book of Exodus chapter 10 and verse 3 by the name of Moses and by the name of Aaron, went down to Pharaoh. And here's what was said: how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. The problem with Pharaoh was simply pride. These men of God went down and said, how long do you refuse to humble yourself? How long is it that you will continue to go? Was it not Lucifer in the book of Isaiah chapter 14 verses 12 through 15 where it says, thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art cut down, it says, to the ground which didst weaken the nations. It says, for thou hast in thine own heart said, I will ascend into the heaven. Listen to it. I will exalt, it says, my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yea, thou shalt be brought down, it says, to hell. It says, to the sides of the pit. And so he kept boasting, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Look at me. Was not that the downfall of Peter? Peter was the one that went to the Lord and he said, I tell you what, he said, I'm not going to forsake you. I'll be willing to go to jail for you. I'll be willing to die for you. And it wasn't very long after that when the Lord took those men down to the lip or down to the mouth of that which was the garden, and they began to pray and they fell asleep. Yet just not a little while prior to that, he said, I'd be willing to go to jail for you. I'd be willing to die for you. I'm not going to forsake you. That same Peter was the one that forsook the church, forsook the disciples, and forsook the Lord. And the cock began to crow as a reminder of him forsaking what he so proudly and arrogantly said that he would not do. Look, I'm saying tonight we have to understand there's that element of pride. What do? We decide that we're going to serve God regardless of what takes place. Let me give you some things. There's the problem of pride. There's the characteristics of pride. People get caught up in pride. There was Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 17. The Bible says, and Samuel said, says, when thou was little in thine own sight, says, was thou made the head of Israel, the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee, it says, to be king. Now listen to me. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that there is that pride. You know, there's people that's caught up in the pride. There's people that is caught up in the pride. They are caught up in themselves. They get caught up in themselves. And because they get caught up in themselves, they're overtaken. There's Naaman. Naaman decided he was going to go down to the prophet's house in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. Naaman went down to the prophet's house, and the prophet, of course, did not come out to see him, though he was covered with leprosy. The prophet said, I want you to go down. I want you to dip yourself in the water, when the cleanest water of all the place. Naaman decided he wasn't going to do it, but until he dropped this pride, he wasn't healed. You know, sometimes we have to go into some nasty things in order for God to take care of us. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves in order for God to work. Sometimes we have to decide that we're going to do what is right. And it doesn't matter. Well, somebody says, well, why are you humbling yourself so much? Why is it that you're going down to such a dirty place? And why is it that you're serving God that way? It might just be that that's a part of God's will for helping us to become what we ought to be. You think about the Pharisee once stood there and he was justified in his own eyes. And he looked down at the one that was justified in the eyes of the Lord. You think about Herod. Herod was a man that was consumed with pride. The Bible says it is the, he says, listen, somebody looked at him said, it is the voice of God and not a man. And the Bible says that he remained on his throne. And right after that, there was an angel that came down and had smitten him simply because of the fact that he was full of pride. You think of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a man that wanted everybody to know exactly who he was and his majesty. everybody to bow down, if you would please, at that which he would erect of himself. You listen to me tonight. What took place? God said, okay, I'm going to teach you a lesson, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar. And for 7 years, he was insane. And for 7 years, he grazed the pasture as an ox. For 7 years, God brought him down to the point and to the place when he came out of that. He wrote the, I believe, one of the greatest gospel tracts that you'll read in the book of Daniel chapter 4. Listen, we understand that God gives us examples of those that's caught up in pride. Now, let me give you a solution tonight, and I'm done. How is it that we cure pride? Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you easily offended? If you're easily offended tonight, you got a problem with pride. Let me ask you something. Does it irritate you when somebody else points out your faults or corrects you? If it irritates you and somebody points out your faults or corrects you, you got a problem with pride. Let me ask you something tonight. When you make mistakes, do you make also alibis to go along with each one? Do you cover it up? There's a problem with pride. Do you find it hard to receive instructions? There's a problem with pride. Do you mind being told what to do and how to do it, though it's not your way? Problem of pride. Do you get upset when somebody crosses your rights? Problem of pride. Do you seek counsel? Are you filled with your own wisdom? Problem of pride. Do you have a grateful spirit or an ingrateful heart? Problem of pride. What's the cure tonight? And I'm done. I want you to notice them in your Bible. Go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. I've given you a lot of verses tonight. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if always means this, it's up to you. You do it or you'll not do it. Here's what he says. He says, if we confess our sins, that's plural, not singular, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that is plural, not singular, and cleanse us from all, that means everything, all unrighteousness. So what do I do? What I do is I agree with God against myself concerning pride. When I have pride in my life, I go to God and I confess it. I say, God, I confess that this is wrong. I ask God for help. I ask God for, if you would please, a grace, if you will, and mercy, if you will, and the necessary needs that I have in order to overcome. But I go to God. How is it that I overcome pride? The Bible teaches to overcome pride, we need to serve God's people. Serve God's people. Here's what it says, Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. A servant. Somebody says, well, I believe that I'm a great leader and everybody ought to follow me. A great leader is going to be the greatest servant. Over in the Bible, you see where many, many chapters and many, many books is talking about a Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Even our Lord himself took on the form of being a servant. He loved serving people. He loved meeting people's needs. He loved being there and helping people. That was our Lord. Wait a minute. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. You know what that means? He wasn't looking for somebody to come up and pat him on the back and say, boy, I tell you what, you did a good job on that. You did a fantastic job on that. You know, he wasn't in it for that. He was in it for you and me. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says here he made himself of no reputation. One of the best words or seeds of advice was ever given to me was by Dr. Jerry Pertell. When Brother Pertell said, Brother Wells, God's using you around the nations. And he said, you know, people are getting saved. He said, I want to tell you something right now. He said, son, he said, you better stay low. You better not get puffed up. You better not think that you're God's gift in evangelism. You better not think that you're God's gift to preachers around the world. You better stay low and you better let God use you and you better give God all the glory and you better pick him up. Don't you ever be somebody that thinks that you're somebody. Amen. Listen, here's what the Bible says about our Lord. And he made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant and was made, it says, in the likeness of men, being found fashioned as a man. Listen, here it is. He humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So here's what he did. The Bible says, made himself of no reputation. Come on, don't you stand up, Dr. Allen, if you will. Go ahead, just start patting yourself on the back. Just start doing it. Boy, don't you hate it when somebody goes around and they do that all the time? I mean, look at me, look at me, look at me. See all the things I accomplished. Aren't I a good Joe? I mean, haven't I accomplished a lot? I mean, look at me, look at me, look at me. You know, by the way, everybody can see somebody else when they're spending time patting themselves on the back. Now, that doesn't glorify God. That doesn't give God the glory. Thank you. Be seated. I've preached with some great guys around the nation. I really have. God allowed me to be able to be on platforms and preach with some of these what you call giants and fundamentalism and stuff like that. And I'll be honest with you, some of them just kind of turned me off. Because they you know, here's what they do, some of them, and they'll show up late for a service just to make their grand entrance. Now, that just kind of bothers me a little bit. I was around Dr. Robertson for years, and he was probably one of the greatest preachers in fundamentalism that lived in our air. Now, I understand there was men like Dr. Hiles and some of these other fellows that had death threats, and they were kind of cautious. I understand some of that. But I'm talking about just guys like me. You know, it'd be nice just to be able to go and shake somebody's hand early for church. Let them know you love them before you clean their plow. I mean, it would be nice to be able to go in and let people see you're kind of human. Hello? Man, I love it. These little kids come up, hey, preacher, how you doing? That doesn't bother me. Well, you're quiet tonight. I'm sorry if I'm stepping on you. But man, you know, I like it when we come to church, we're able to shake hands. And I know that we ought to have respect for the office of the pastor. And I thank God for you. And I love you. And I hope you never let it slip. But please understand tonight that we need to be able to serve and help each other and love each other and push forward to accomplish the wills of God. I'm saying tonight that you and I ought to be people that enjoy serving other people. Enjoy serving people. And I think it's neat, man. I get to come out to some of the youth functions that these fellows invite me to, and I like it. I get to go around and, boy, these kids, their tea's getting kind of low, and I love taking that gallon of tea. And, you know, some of you like my wife. My wife likes sweet tea. I mean, she thinks she's in heaven if she gets sweet tea. But I like taking that gallon, and when I see a teenager's glass get a little bit empty, I like going around serving them a little bit. You know why? Because it teaches them that they ought to have a servant's heart. Amen. Now, I think you ought to take care of your parents. And I sure do appreciate it when sometimes some of these boys get a little bit of energy and they open the door for Mrs. Wells and open. You ought to be a gentleman. And I appreciate it when you open the door for me and I've got my hands full and you just don't stand there looking like a goofball. I mean, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you taking out the trash and we have family nights, and you ought not to let some of these older guys do it because you do have energy. There's no daddy in here tonight ought to have to mow his own lawn if he's got a teenage boy. I mean, there is a such thing as respect. There is a such thing as carrying your own weight around the house. Boy, it'd do good for some of you teen girls to learn how to cook before you get out of the house and kill somebody. It would do you good to learn how to wash clothes and fold the clothes and iron the clothes. I mean, that'd do you good. And I'm telling you, we got wives nowadays, don't know how to cook, don't know how to iron. They eat out of a can. Well, that's what puppy dogs do. Boy, it would be good to learn how to cook something that's real. Well, you know, preacher, you know, I tell you what, my husband, you know, he likes those fabricated potatoes, those instant potatoes. That's because he's never had the real thing. If he ever had the real thing, he'd never go back to instant this. They even got instant milk nowadays. Can you imagine pouring powder and then pouring water and then you call it milk? That'd make every baby burp, I tell you. Hey, look, I'm saying tonight, don't be lazy and don't pass this thing off. Well, yeah, I'm going to let my dad continue to mow the lawn because he heard that message and preacher said he ought to serve. Not you, Bubba. Hey, you ought to decide that you're going to be somebody that you're going to ride. Hey, your dad's getting older. Have a little bit of respect. Your mom's getting older. Have a little. Don't you call her old. But have a little bit of respect and just decide that, make your own bed. Put your clothes in the dirty hamper. The dirty clothes hamper. Wash some dishes. Feed the dog. Poor dog. Look, I'm saying tonight, it's important for us to understand, serve. Serve. You are a lazy bumpkin tonight. You listen to me. If your daddy has to serve you and get you out of bed and squirt you with a squirt gun, and that doesn't work, and he gets the water hose, that doesn't work, so he calls the fire department. Don't do that. Learn to serve and do it happily. Daddy says, take out the trash. Well, if I have to. Mama says, would you help me in the kitchen? I guess. Whatever happened to yes, ma'am, and yes, sir? Come on. Daddies, you're not saying amen, but I'm really trying to help you tonight. Look, serve one another. Serve one another. Used to be, we teach our children when an adult came in the room that you'd stand up out of respect and you'd shake their hand. Nowadays, we get so lackadaisical when an adult comes in the room, we just kind of look at them, we expect them to come over and shake our hand. Used to be that the child would go to the parent or to the adult. Now we expect the adult to go to the child. Something not right about that. Look, what I'm saying tonight is this. Learn to serve. You know, your children will not rise up to be children of great pride if you teach them to be servants. There's nothing wrong with a child working on a bus route and sweating a little bit. Nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing wrong with them getting out there when it's hot outside and putting sand down around your house. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with them mowing the lawn, milking the cow, kicking the dog. No. Serve. Statement number one, you confess it. If you have pride, confess it. Go to God. He wants to help. Statement number two, you serve God's people. Statement number three, you obey authorities in your life. Obey authorities in your life. Here's two men of God come down to that, which is Pharaoh, a picture of the devil, picture of the world. Come down to Pharaoh. Don't act like the world. Don't act like the devil. And it says on to Pharaoh, says on to the one that was symbolic of the devil, symbolic of the world, says on to him, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? You know, God, it pleases God when you obey your parents. And by the way, are you listening to me? Here these men are coming down and they are told by God exactly what to say and they're going in God's stead. Look, you know, you had Dr. May for years that was your pastor, and you have great preachers that cross this platform. But listen, when a man of God says something, it would pay you a good compliment if you just sit up and listen. If he tells you to do something, he is probably looking out for the betterment of you and not the worse of you. He's not trying to damage you. Men of God could be the best friends you ever had in your life if they shoot it straight, if they help you. Don't expect them to get up and always sugar stick it. Don't expect them to get up and always spoon feed you. You know, sometimes a man of God does have to get up and say, now look, here's what the Bible says, you need to do it. Well, listen, when that takes place in your life, listen to that and obey it. Humble yourself. Statement number one, we confess it. Statement number two, we serve God's people. Statement number three, obey authorities in your life. Statement number four, I fast. Fast. Any type of addiction that is a wrong addiction can be corrected by a biblical fast. You'd be amazed at what God would do in your life if you took, the Bible says that the disciples fasted oft. Oft. You know, you'd be surprised at what God would do in your life if you decided that you were going to fast and let God work in your life. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 35 and in verse 13, the Bible says, as for me, when they were sick, says, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled my soul with fasting and prayer. Listen to it. Returned unto mine own bosom. All right, so what is he saying here? He's saying this, that there was a time when some things were not going right. So what did he do? He humbled himself, and he fasted, and he prayed. Let me give you one last thing. Go to the altar often. Go to the altar often. You know, it's amazing to me as you studied Noah. When Noah was building the ark, now understand, he was under the instruction of God. God was telling him exactly how to build the ark, the dimensions of the ark, under complete instructions from God. As long as he was building something for God, you never see any problems in the family. You never see any type of immorality in the family. You never see any type of a gross sin that's in the family. You never see that there's a disharmony in the family. You know why? Because the family's working together obeying God. Get that. Working together obeying God. There was no disharmony. There was no division. There was no problems building the ark. Yes, other people gave accusations. Yes, other people shouted. Yet, but they stayed the same way. I can imagine they had some type of routine, some type of schedule where they put in their service and serving God and obeying God every single day of their life. They were busy serving God. As long as he was building something for God, no immorality. As long as he was building something for God and busy serving God the way God had instructed him to do it, there was no problems. He was just out there building something for God. Then you can find out the ark landed. When the ark landed, the first thing he did was build an ark. Build an altar. And nowhere in the Bible do you see that God instructed him to build an altar. But yet he did it because he loved God. He did it because he knew it was right. He did it because he wanted to show God how much he loved him. So he was busy obeying God as God instructed him to do it. And as he was obeying God, you'll see that God was working in their life and no problems. As they were building the altar, the family was coming around the altar. Not one time as they're being close to God, and not one time as they're coming to the altar, do you see any sin problem. Not one time, as long as the trail to the altar was fresh, was there any sin problem. Not one time do you see a disagreement. You see, when spiritual people get together, they have one thing in common, and that's just to keep it right. So as long as they were doing spiritual things, they weren't criticizing and they were not belly aching. But you show me the heart and the lips of a critic and I'll show you somebody that's got a poor walk with God. And so as long as they're obeying God and they're at the altar, you're going to see that, wow, it's just good harmony inside the home. But then all of a sudden, Noah decided to build something for himself. Bible says he went out and built a vineyard. Built it for himself. Matter of fact, he calls it my vineyard. He built it for himself. It's when he started building something for himself and not building something for God. And by the way, you don't see that his family was a part of that. You don't see anything about the family except for the misgiving that all of a sudden now he leads his family the wrong direction and immorality sets in and problems set in. You don't have a good family history after that. But as long as he was building something for God and the family was on board, hey, it was okay. There wasn't the element of pride. People are criticizing. People are making fun. He just kept on working for God. Long as they were trying to build that altar just to show God how much they loved him. Long as they were going to that altar together, you get to see that God's working. But all of a sudden, when he pulled up, He started building something selfishly just for himself. Now there's trouble. Wonder if there's a little bit of pride that was connected to that vineyard. Wonder if there's a little bit of pride in Noah's life when Noah said, well, I've done this for God and I've done this to keep the family right, but it's about time that I build something just for myself. Wonder if there was an element of pride that was connected to that that caused the downfall of a family. Now I say tonight, we have to be careful about that pride. The Bible says we're supposed to esteem one another above ourselves. God talks about serving people. And I'm excited about the way the church is going, and that's a wonderful thing, and we're seeing that growth, and that's a good thing. And I love the families that's joining here, and I'll tell them now that you're a member, I said, let me know now. I want to serve you any way I can. I want to meet your need any way I can. Hello. I was telling Brother Bulkley the other night, I was tired. I called him up, and I said, Doc, I said, I am just so tired. I said, I need to get home, and I was running late and had two sermons to prepare, the one this morning and the one tonight. I got so far behind this week, and I'm working on all that college stuff, and boy, all the counseling is coming in. I said, Doc, I'm just tired. And man, I'm putting in the hours and getting up early and staying up late and giving it everything I've got. And I called him up and I said, you know, I need to do this though. I said, Brother Yao called me, and Brother Yao was in tears and said, my brother-in-law, he sits in the hospital and I don't know what to do, preacher. Can you please go? And I called Brother Bulkley, and I really was. I was tempted. I called Brother Bulkley, and I said, Brother Bulkley, and he'd do whatever I asked him to, just like these other men. And I said, Brother Bulkley, you know, I've got two sermons tonight. Oh, I said, forget it. I need to stop bellyaching. I said, I need to go. Oh, he said, but preacher, I'll go for you. And I said, no, I really think I just need to go and love him. Boy, I went up that hospital, drove up there by myself. I'm walking in, you know, and there sits two precious ladies. Mrs. Yao's mama and Mrs. Yao's aunt, precious ladies. And boy, there, I go over and I said, I want to have prayer with you and just be here a little while. Can't stay very long, but I want to be here for you, and I want to love you if I can. Let me just have prayer. And boy, she held my hand, and she started telling me all about her boy. Man, I'm telling you, Brother Magnus, she just went on. She was telling me about that boy. She told me about how that boy came to church and he got saved here at Parkside, got baptized. She just went on and eyes are filling with water. Now, how do you walk away from something like that? She just kept holding that hand, Brother Harris, and she just kept holding that thing and holding that thing. And you think, well, you know, people hurt and you need to help them. You know, and isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what Christ would have did? Sometimes we get so wrapped up in ourselves, if we're not careful, we walk around people. God doesn't want us to walk around people. Come on. I went over to Brother Sergio's house, and he was laying there in the bed, and little Sergio decided, Brother Fenton and I went over to visit him, and little Sergio decided that he was going to be Superman. Man, he would run, and he loved his daddy, but they got one of these real nice beds, you know, and if you hit it a certain way, you bounce. I mean, it's a trampoline. So little Sergio was running, and he would dive on the bed, and I watched daddy. Daddy didn't say anything but cringe. And I had my phone out, and I said, hey, you want to see some pictures? I was hoping he wouldn't hit the delete, and all my pictures go by. So I started showing him some pictures and some other stuff like that. And boy, he became kind of sedate with that. And he was sitting down there. We were able to fellowship and talk. And amen. Well, listen, what I'm saying tonight is sometimes you need to be that servant in somebody else's life. I had the staff get on to me. And you're learning, Brother Wells. But my staff got on to me. I don't like it when my staff gets on to me. But we had this time of working around the church. And I thought, what can I do? That old gym, the sight of that thing bothered me. And I thought, I don't want to ask a man to get up there because if he falls off the ladder, I'm going to feel bad. So I rounded up some teenage boys and I said, hey, fellas, you want to help me clean the side of the gym? And Brother Bell, I got up on the top of that ladder all the way up to the top of that gym and I didn't look down. Because if I would have looked down, I would have came down. Man, I'm reaching up on my tiptoes, standing almost on the tip of that ladder, and I'm reaching up there, and I'm scrubbing as hard as I can and praying the whole time, dear Jesus, keep me up here. And now I'm scrubbing that, and we spent eight and a half hours scrubbing the side of that gym. I came in, I was sunburned. Now, wait a minute. As I get older, I can't do that stuff. Forget climbing to the top of that ladder. I doubt if I'll be able to climb to the bottom of the ladder. But I'm still a pretty young preacher. And y'all are rotten, you know that? Man, I climbed up there, and I had those guys out there, and I'm telling you, we had a good time. Now, I went home like a lobster. I mean, I went home, my wife said, what happened to you? I said, I think it's called sun. And I was sore the next couple of days, but every time I look at the side of that gym, I'll always remember those boys helping me. I'll always remember us working together and serving together. And then when they get a little bit older, and I'm a little bit older, and I'm not as spry as what I should be, you know, they'll be able to remember the day we climbed up the side of the gym together. And all of us almost died. They'll remember that. It's called serving. When I first came pastor here, I didn't really understand. And I do love you, and I mean this. And you take this with a grain of salt. But I'd be over there, Brother Salem, I'd be taking down tables. And I'm used to serving pastors all over America. You understand, for 12 years, I served preachers. I'd go in and say, what do you need? How can I help you take your ministry to another level? You need sermons? I've got them. You need Sunday school lessons? I've got them. You want me to write for you a campaign? Get your attendance up. I'll sit down with you, and I'll work on your campaign with you this week. By the time we leave here, you're going to have a campaign ready for spring or fall. What do you need? You need me to rework your budget? I can do that. Whatever you want. I come in, and I know what I'm doing, and I can help you. You just let me help you. That's all I want to do. You want me to counsel your family? You want me to counsel your children, people inside the church? Whatever you need, preacher, I'm here for you. I came to Parkside Baptist Church. You got to understand where I came from. Yes, sir. I came to Parkside Baptist Church, and I'm the guy that's used to picking up the table. I'm the guy that my boys and I would fold up all the chairs. We would be the ones that would take out all the trash. Hello. We'd be the ones that would stay late to clean up, because I love that man of God, and I wanted to take pressure off him. Then all of a sudden, I show up at Parkside, and I pick a table up, and here comes a little boy. I didn't think he was big enough to carry the table. Here comes this little boy, preacher, preacher, no, no, no. And I said, what you, no, 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 you're the preacher, you don't do that. Oh, okay, and that was Brother Bulkley. So they take that table from me, and they take it over there. Then I go over there, and Brother Fenton, I can't wait till your family gets here. They're going to love this church. They're going to love these people. But I go over there, and I'd start to fold up. I'd start to, Brother Wilson, what I do is I go over there and take the trash. And I start putting the trash in, and here comes a girl, and she say, no, no, no. And I'd say, what? She said, we do that. We do that. And I would say, yes, ma'am. They'd take the trash. And I'm saying we're growing together as a family. But let us go on to serve God together. We got new people coming to church. Here's a fear I've got. You ready for this one? Here's a fear I got. You got new people coming to church, and if you're not careful, you're going to lay down your plow. You're going to say there's new people coming to church. Let him get somebody else. I've been serving Jesus Christ long enough. Huh. You've not been serving Jesus Christ long enough. I'm sorry. It should be a continuation. I'm going to serve him till I die. Saying tonight, let's decide to be that servant. Let's decide. Oh, come on. You want me to? I can go on and on tonight. But let's decide to be that servant. When the car needs cleaning, don't let your parents clean it. You clean it. When the kitchen table needs cleaning off, don't let your parents do it. You do it. When the laundry needs to be washed, you take care of it. You say, well, all I'm going to do, you're killing me, Brother Wells. You're killing me. I'm going to go home and they're going to work me to death. No, not to death, but they're going to teach you how to be a servant. You decide tonight that you want to serve. I had a Brother Moore and Brother Dowdy, and I don't know who else was out there, but I pulled out in the front, and I was excited. Brother Stead, where are you at? I was excited about those beams out there, you know, the bottom part that you did. Man, I still look at that at night, and that cross, and ooh, it's good stuff. And boy, but I pulled out there, and I was excited. It was Thursday night after soul winning. Mrs. Wells is my partner on Thursday night, and so we come in from soul winning. I said, honey, look at that. They got those, the bottom, the basin of the, it. Look at that. And I said, I've got to stop. I got to go up there and look at it closer. This is, the, you know, wow. And so I went up there, and I pulled up there just in the parking lot, and I got some sheet metal that went in the side wall of my tire. So I pulled back to the back, and I thought, you know, what's going on? My wife, you know, she's making this strange sound. But it wasn't my wife making the sound. It was the tire. You know, my wife was saying, shh. I thought she was saying, shh, shh. But she wasn't telling me to shh. It was the tire telling all of us that shh. Pulled in the back, and boy, it was in that sidewall. And I thought, well, I've got to get the jack and change this thing tonight. I'm not going to make it out of here. It's late. No tire place is open. So I progressed to try and get ready to change it. And all of a sudden, four or five men showed up. So what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to change the tire. No, you're not. Well, yeah, I got to. I'm not going to make it home. No, we're going to change it. You know, and I started to grab something. They said, what are you doing? Now, wait a minute. We ought to love each other that way. That's how come I see when you're having a hard time. I said, what are you doing? Let me come into your life. What are you doing? Let me come in and help you. Let me come in and direct a little bit. Let me come in and serve your family a little bit. Okay, so you got a rebellious teenager. All right, so you're having some financial problems. Okay, so the marriage is not. Okay, let me come in and let us serve one another. Because that's exactly what God meant a church to be.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.